There is separation, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know how many candidates there are for the Fargo City Commission. Is it 11? Is it 12? Is it, I mean, any given day, the number could change. Some of them have been active, some have not been active. But the reality is, when you talk to them about specific issues, you have to ask what separates, what the difference is, right? Yesterday, when I had Tony Grinberg in, you know, and everybody looks at Tony Grinberg as being one of the favorites in this race. Tony's got the things you need in politics. He has experience and he has name recognition. He's a longtime state senator from Fargo. But Tony doesn't provide, when it comes to what's currently happening with Fargo and the decisions that Fargo is making, he doesn't provide anything different. In fact, you get more of the same. When it came to Block 9 and the controversy that followed Block 9, Tony made it perfectly clear, to his credit, he didn't hem and haw around it. He said, nope. I would have done the exact same thing. I would have voted with the majority that voted that night. I believe that this pilot tax break, that this TIF tax break, that the fact that these guys don't pay taxes for 25 years, that this is now me talking, not Tony, that the school districts end up not getting any benefit out of that for 25 years. Tony said he would go along with that. I struggled with that. Tony knows that I separate with him on that issue. I'm sitting there staining my house last night, and all of a sudden I get an email, you know, on my smartphone, and it's from John Strand with the Stand for Strand campaign. And John separates. He says, now, wait a second. If you're going to vote for me, if you're going to pick who your next city commissioner is going to be clear about this. I want to be upfront with the public that I would serve. I would not have voted to support the pilot program on Block 9. So in other words, he would have voted with Mike Williams and he would have voted with Tony Gehrig. I quickly called John. I said, John, come on into the studio. And he's sitting here right now. John, long introduction, I know, but I wanted to set that up. Thanks for coming in.
It's always a pleasure, Joel, and I look forward to visiting with the public about this issue and sharing my thinking so they know where I'm at and where I'm guessing a lot of them are at.
Well, I think a lot of Fargo is at. Let me give you a scenario. Young couple, South Fargo, $200,000 home, $60,000 special assessments on that home. I mean, they have $60,000 special assessments on that home. They're looking to upgrade, probably had more kids on the way. And you know what? They need a bigger home to raise their family in. Can't make that move because they don't get a 25-year tax exemption. And, I mean, there's a real separation here.
There is, and you can add another $60,000 plus for the lot. And it's even a more dire situation for folks trying to make ends meet. Yesterday, I was at Touchmark talking with seniors. This was the most talked about issue. The question they asked me the most is, how can they do this? How can they give away so much money to some of the wealthiest people in the state when we're all on fixed incomes? We don't have increases in Social Security. There's a lot of people in the city that are trying to make their ends meet. And yet they see this, and I was just, nobody can ever say people aren't engaged and don't pay attention. They do. And I was amazed at the level of detail they had and the serious concerns, Joel, they're expressing to me yesterday morning.
Well, I didn't know you were going to do this. I didn't know where you were going to fall on this. For one thing, I know that you have a personal friendship with Doug Burgum, and Doug is one of those individuals you just described.
Doug is a very long-term friend of mine. I have the highest regard for Doug as a business leader and an innovator and entrepreneur, as well as the other parties involved, the Thorolsons, the TMI Group, and Ron Offutt. They're absolutely stellar pillars in our business community. That said, if you're on an elected body, you can't let it be personal. You can't let it be about who your friends are or who you know. You have to follow the policy. And in this instance, it's that clear to me. The policy does not allow pilots, payments in lieu of taxes, to be used for, and this is absolutely spelled out, for retail, hotel, or general office businesses. That's our policy. So if you have a policy, you're...
That's what Tony Gehrig's been saying.
That's what he's been saying.
He's been screaming to the top of the hills, and he's been portrayed as anti-Fargo for actually saying we're violating our policy.
Follow the policy. If the policy doesn't allow your decision to happen, go back to the policy so it's consistent going forward so everybody gets equal, fair treatment under the policy. And then it's not personalized. People look at this as personal preference. People look at this, I believe, as a sense of special treatment for some people. Then they're wondering, well, who gets it next and how far will this go? So I'm all about the policy. And the commission voted in January to affirm this policy, to send it back for study to the tax exempt review committee, and gave them 60 days, and it never happened. So they have to, in my mind, follow the policy in place. And I don't care how long it takes. You then approve or vet projects relative to the policy that you've all affirmed.
By doing this, aren't you anti-downtown development?
Oh, absolutely not. I'm a downtowner. I live downtown. My business is downtown. I've been part of the whole process for 20 years of visualizing a more invigorated part downtown. This isn't anti-downtown. This is just a pragmatic approach to do business in a government setting the way you should follow your policies.
I want to talk about the deeper issue here, which is not the violation of the policy, which is not the timing of the vote, which is not all the things that go along with that. I want to talk about the issue of three of the wealthiest families in all of North Dakota getting millions of dollars of tax breaks, ending up with private ownership of a parking lot that the city pays for. And the argument that they make is that, listen, if you're that young couple I described in South Fargo, you're getting free parking from the city. You're getting it horizontally. You're just not getting it vertically like they are with the parking ramp. And I say to that, bull. Complete bull. Number one, those kids out in front of their home cannot charge someone to park in front of their home. These people with their parking ramp are going to turn over $200,000 to $300,000 a year on what the city, what the citizens paid for. So that's a profit to them. Number one. Number two, they own it. The kids don't own the street out there. They just pay taxes on it, which separates them from what's happening in Block 9, because you know what? In Block 9, they don't pay taxes for 25 years. This pilot program, John, was set up to make sure that a corn mill plant went into Wahpeton. This was not set up so a bunch of rich guys can have and be able to sell to friends $1 million condominiums. This is the 1% crowd, and they used every tool in the toolbox to pull it off, all in the name of you love downtown Fargo. And the forum editorializes today that people like me lack vision. Build it. If you want it, build it. They will come because there's enough rich people in this town. But you know who's really going to benefit? People like the forum who own property right next to it, because their property is going to go up while the rest of Fargo pays the taxes on it. The schools lose, John. The schools lose big time.
Schools lose big time for 25 years, a generation plus. And I'm on the school board, and we have a frozen mill levy to contend with as a community. And 51% of property taxes go to schools right now. So that should be in the discussion. But I appreciate you bringing up this issue of ownership. You know, the northeast corner of this property was the city-owned parking ramp, and that was demolished. So what's being replaced there, what's being put there in this project when it happens, is another parking ramp that the tax pays off the loan for it, the what would be the taxes, yeah. And then the public doesn't own any of it. That to me is...
And it generates revenue.
And it generates revenue for into the future, and the public gets nothing back out of that. That's just incomprehensible, frankly, in my opinion. So I applauded Mike Williams, Commissioner Williams, for his steadfast messaging and sticking to his guns that he couldn't support this in that context at the commission meeting.
He just wanted to go back to the negotiating table.
He wanted it to go back to the drawing board to get this right, do it right, bring it back when the policies are right and when the negotiations reflect the taxpayer in the formula.
Somebody sent me an email yesterday saying, thank you, Joel, for having the courage to take this on. You're up against some giants in Fargo, kind of a thing. Watch your back, because these people have more power than you know. but their premise was, thanks for taking it on. But it ended with this, and it stuck with me. They said, why were you so late to this debate? And I'll tell you why, John. I didn't see it passing. With Pepcorn going out touting himself as a conservative and what he was saying leading up to this, and where I thought Williams was, and I knew where Gehrig was, I knew I knew this wasn't going to pass. I was wrong.
I mean, I was wrong. I was disappointed it came in such a hurried fashion before the Tax Exempt Review Committee came back with their recommendations for policy. So it was hurried, and I was kind of stunned by Commissioner Pepcorn's view. It wasn't consistent with his other viewpoints and votes over time.
Are you the only candidate for the Fargo City Commission that has had the courage to take this on?
At this moment, I don't know of any others who have taken it on.
You were just at a forum last night. Did anybody take it on?
A couple of them spoke highly of it. It was about arts, so it wasn't quite a topic of other topics, or didn't cover other issues, but a couple pointed across the street. We were downtown and looked over to this empty lot and said, look what's going to be there, and they kind of gave it glowing reviews.
Well, to me, that's separation. If you're that couple in South or North Fargo, if you're that couple that is sitting there paying taxes and knowing that they're going to go up because A, your evaluation just went up, and B, the state is running out of money to subsidize what's happening with property taxes, you're going to be sitting there looking at this project saying, why me? Why is the Offutt family, why is the Thorolson family, why is the Burgum family getting all of this money, this tax break, while I'm sitting here paying for the band while they're doing the dancing?
Joel, I'm knocking on hundreds of doors. There's nothing I'm hearing more about than the growing assessment valuations in their assessments. And one person had four consecutive years in a row. Some of them have had as much as 40% assessment increases. 12% plus of the population of Fargo has had an assessment increase now 2 years consecutively. This is hitting them in the pocketbook, whether we acknowledge it or not. It's hitting them hard, and they're not happy.
But the people of Fargo get to skate.
The people,
they don't get $1 million condo. Well, they don't get a free parking spot or revenue from the parking spot. They get to put on some skates in the middle of winter and skate in the plaza.
They get to pay the bill.
They get stuck with the bar tab. If you've got a question for John Strand, give me a call. 237-5948, 1-800-880-5346. We're sitting here with Fargo's candidate for the city commission, the only one that called out the three members of the city commission who voted for what's happening in Block 9, John Strand. So stick around. More coming your way. Never to be. Head to the phone lines. John Strand, candidate for city commission, is with us. Wayne, you want to talk to John. Go ahead, Wayne.
Yeah. Well, I totally agree that, you know, there's something happening here that probably needs to be looked into. Policy is policy. It needs to be, you know, dealt with. But as far as evaluation goes, if I buy a home for $150,000, then I pay, that's what I pay, you know, the taxes on. The next person then pays, you know, buys my house for $175,000. That's what they pay. Why do we have to have assessments keep going on? Why don't you just pay on what you buy the home for? I have never understood this assessment issue, because I paid what I paid, and people would pay, and you don't have all these increments going on.
Thank you, Wayne. Appreciate it, John.
You know, Wayne, that's an interesting question. The city's statutorily required to keep assessments near the valuation of what they think the market is. But I have an interesting story to tell you. I'll keep this quick. I was down on Harwood Drive and Hackberry Drive the other day and found a home. Everybody's assessments are going up. And then I found some homes that were in the line of the dikes that were going to be mitigated. And interestingly, this one family I talked to, the owner, said that nobody from the city has ever talked to him personally ever about the buyout of his home. And they've offered him something via letters twice. And then one time he read on the front page that he was one of the holdouts, a picture and information about his home and how he's a holdout to dikes and protection to the city. Then I said, I have an odd question for you. Did you get any assessment increases in your valuation increases lately? He says, no. I said, isn't that insightful? So his house is on
the
market.
Doesn't want to pay
they
more.
Don't want to raise his valuation because it's going to be bought out. So they're not giving him the increase.
Yeah. Let me put this in this perspective and see your take on it. There's a lot of people who don't believe that what happened here is cohesive with North Dakota Century Code. that you can use any tool you want, but it better be able to follow with what the North Dakota Century Code even allowed. Do you see this as a potential problem in the future?
I do. I also see it as a problem when city entities at times give away school districts or other subdivisions' incomes. You know, the city's a fraction of what the school district is.
25 years of school gets nothing here.
You know, so, and I think Bismarck had an issue as simple as giving money to their symphony. And that was questioned and challenged, and it prevailed that the taxpayer money could not be used for that. So it probably could be an issue that would be interesting to look at and study and learn what the answer would be.
I'm going to be really curious what reaction you get from the Fargo public, because the reaction I got after yesterday's show, with a lot of the emotion that came out in that show, the average Fargoan out there that has been picking up this bar tab, they're mad. They're really mad. I saw it online. I saw it in messages coming back to me, in phone messages in my office. I saw it in the Forum's online poll. People are mad about this, John. I think you're on the right side on
it. It's unfortunate they've handed a hand grenade to others who now have something to go at this spectacular project with severe criticism. That's unfortunate.
Well, hurry up and get on the city commission so you can get your name on the building.
I'll go to the policy immediately.
John, where can people find out more about your candidacy?
StanRestrand.com.
All right. Well, that's leadership. I mean, I am going to say this. That's leadership. It doesn't make you the most popular people with the haves in this town, the one percenters. But I'll tell you what, for the average guy who still mows his own grass, they're going to appreciate your
stance. Thanks, Joel, very much.
We'll be back right after this.